morning. It is good to be back with you this morning. And I want to thank Pastor Mike for speaking for me last Sunday and on Wednesday night as well. But we are glad to be here. And we are beginning a new series on Sunday morning, looking at the life of Abraham, the journey of faith. And so if you would join me, please turn or find Genesis chapter 12 this morning as we begin this series. It's going to be an 11-week series looking at this journey of faith. And Abraham's journey of faith, I hope, will be an encouragement and also a challenge and a teaching tool for our own journey of faith, because all of us are on our own journey of faith. And I think a lot of what we learn from Abraham's journey of faith, we can apply to our own journey of faith. Would you just please follow along with me as I read the first 9 verses of Genesis chapter 12. Next week, we'll finish out chapter 12. And by the way, next week is also communion. We will be observing the Lord's table at the end of both services next week as well. We pick it up, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go out from your country, your relatives, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. Then I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you will exemplify divine blessing. I will bless those who bless you, but the one who treats you lightly, I must curse. And all the families of the earth will bless one another by your name." So Abram left, just as the Lord had told him to do. And Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they left for the land of Canaan. They entered the land of Canaan. Abram traveled through the land as far as the oak tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." So Abram built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Then he moved from there to the hill country east of Bethel and pitched his tent, and Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and worshiped the Lord. Abram continually journeyed by stages down to the Negev. Obviously, we're introduced to Abram here in chapter 12, and he's not Abraham yet. So let me just make this note. We will see the name change when we get to chapter 17. Abram, that name means exalted father. Abraham, the name God will give him in chapter 17, means father of a multitude or father of many nations. And of course, if you know the story of Abraham, you know why that is. We will refer to Abram as Abram until we get to that name change later on. You may hear me accidentally call him Abraham, because I'm more used to calling him Abraham than I am Abram. But we want to talk about Abram's journey of faith. And even before we get to chapter 12, when it says the Lord spoke to Abram, we've got to rewind a little bit for this reason. The very first point I would like to make is that in Abram's journey of faith, there was the preparation, meaning that this wasn't the first time the Lord spoke to Abram and then just all of a sudden bursts into his life without Abram even knowing who and what is speaking to me and saying, "Hey, I want you to take this step of faith." No. God began to speak to Abram when he was still in Haran. And we know that from the sermon of Stephen in the book of Acts. In fact, that's the only place we have reference to it, is in Stephen's message in Acts chapter 7. By the way, I could have never planned this. Guess what we're going to be studying on Wednesday night out of the book of Acts? Acts chapter 7, Stephen's message to the Sanhedrin. Why is that important? Because God is always wanting us to learn to recognize his voice, to understand, oh, this is God speaking to me. This is God telling me something. This is God preparing me for a path that he wants me to go down, a road, a direction that he wants me to take. And God wants to familiarize himself and his voice with us. That's what he did with Abram. That's what he does with us. And even now, no matter how long we've walked with God, God is always preparing his people for what he has for us next. So in this season, no matter who you are and where you are with God, God is working on preparing you for something. Something that he knows about, some path that he wants to take you down, but you and I may not know about that path yet, or at least the end of that path and where it goes, but all he's asking us is, do you recognize my voice? Do you know that this is me speaking to you? Are you familiarizing yourself with my voice so that as I speak to you, you will say, yes, Lord, I hear you, speak. You know, your servant is listening. So there's this preparation that's been going on with Abram in Haran before we ever get to chapter 12. But when we get there, notice we go from the preparation to the plan. God had a plan for Abram, and God has a plan for each of us. Each of us is on our own journey of faith. And it starts with God speaking to us and getting us to familiarize ourselves and recognize his voice. And then notice what God said to Abram once Abram became familiar with the voice of God. The Lord said to Abram, go. Go. Move. I want you now, Abram, to begin to walk what I'm calling in this series, the footsteps of faith. I want you to move to my voice. I want you to respond to what I'm doing and working in your heart and mind. I want you to hear me, and I want you to follow me. Are you willing to move, Abram? Again, that's the same plan God has for all of us. He's not necessarily going to say, change zip codes, change as far as physical location, like he is with Abram. But what he is expecting from all of us is that as he speaks to us, we will respond. Amen. We will move to the moving of God in our life. So let me ask all of us, are you moving to the voice of God in your life? Are you responding to what God is doing in your heart and mind? Are you saying, yes, your servant is listening, Lord, and I will follow, I will obey, I will move. God is always about moving his people. We're going to see this later on. He never wants us to stagnate. He never wants us to stay still. He will always be moving us. And again, it may not have anything to do with us necessarily moving physically, but just moving to what he wants us to do, where he wants us to go, who he wants us to meet, what he wants us to be involved with. Are we moving to God? That's the first step of the plan. But notice the second part of God's plan. Go out from your country, your relatives, and your father's household. The second part of the plan is separation. Separation from all that Abram knew up to that point. Separation from the familiar, from the comfortable, from family. Why would God at this point ask Abram to do that? Well, just as he does for us. God built us for relationships, and he wants us to have relationships in our life, but he also, first of all, wants us to begin to recognize and follow his voice for ourselves, to not always have to rely on hearing the voice of God through others for us, to stand on our own two feet spiritually, to be able to learn to follow God and build a personal relationship with him that is sort of separate and apart from our family and our friends, if you will. We cannot live out our journey of faith through the faith and life of others. We can be a part of each other's life, but we all must establish our own personal relationship with God. And sometimes the only way to do that is to put some distance between us and to make sure that the influence of our family and our friends isn't greater than the influence of God. Another thing God is doing here is stretching Abram. Again, Abram could have stayed in Haran and become probably a great person and lived and died in Haran, and yet we would have never heard of him. The only reason we know about Abraham, is because he followed God. And we're going to see that as well. As Nate said in his prayer, God has greater plans for us than we even see and have for ourselves, if we'll just follow him. But sometimes God says, in order for you to walk the path I want you to walk in this season, I need you to separate yourself from something or someone for as long as I tell you to, because it's going to be for your own good. Think about Saul. After Saul came to know the Lord on the Damascus Road, he informs us in the book of Galatians, he went out into the wilderness for a while. Why did he do that? Again, not because relationships aren't important and aren't vital to our life, but he needed to learn to walk on his own feet as well. We all do. We cannot rely on the faith of others. We cannot live off the fumes of others and their life and faith with God. And let me say this, and I don't mean to be a negative person on Mother's Day, but sometimes the greatest detriment and discouragement to us walking the path that God has for us is our family and our friends. Sometimes they will talk us out of following the Lord because they don't want that separation. Sometimes they're unwilling to release us to what God wants because they want to keep us close. And sometimes it's God's will that we are close. But sometimes God, like with Abram, may call us to separate for a time, you see. Let me take a moment and honor my parents today and my mother today on Mother's Day by saying this, because it applies to the message. I so appreciate my parents, who are now both in heaven, who when I was a young man in the ministry, both my mom and dad looked me in the eye and said, Jeff, I don't care where God leads you to go, you go. Even if it means that we will not see you very often, because we want only what God wants for you, not what we want. And then, if you know the story, if you've been around the Oasis, you know the story of my family, that my mom and dad lost two children before I was ever born. My brother and sister died, so I was an only child. And after my father died at a very young age, and my mother was a young widow, she looked at me. She moved out here for a time with us, but then she moved back east, and she looked at me and she said, Jeff, you keep following and doing what the Lord wants you to do. I'll be fine back here, because obviously she knew I would feel responsible being the only child to look after my mother. She said, don't worry about me. I've got my church family back here. I've got my friends back here. You continue to do what the Lord wants you to do and be where he wants you to be, even though we may be thousands of miles apart. I appreciate that my parents did that. It released me from that guilt that sometimes as family members we put on each other because things aren't working out the way we want them to for our sake. But what does God want? And isn't what God wants more important and more of a priority than what we as human beings want? And shouldn't we as parents, and I'll say this for myself, you know, shouldn't we be giving our children back to the Lord because they are the Lord's anyway, and let him do with their lives whatever he wants to do with them? He calls Abram to separate. And by the way, Abraham didn't totally obey that command, did he? He took Lot with him. And don't we know the story that Lot became a thorn in Abram's side later on, did he not? Because he did not completely or fully obey the Lord at this point. He was learning to walk the footsteps of faith, but he didn't always trust the Lord completely. He was learning to do that. So we go from the preparation of Abram to the plan that God had for Abram. Then we come to the promises in verse 2, at the end of verse 1 and verse 2. Notice all the I wills that God says to Abram. Abram, I'll show you the land that I'm taking you to once you get there. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. In other words, God is saying, Abram, all you have to do is follow me. I'll do all the heavy lifting. I'll do it, but you've got to be willing to follow me. You've got to trust me in this journey of faith. And if you follow me, I'll take care of prospering you, of providing for you, of protecting you. These are the promises that you can carry with you, Abram, throughout your journey of faith. And God does the same thing with us. He never calls us out to his plan for us, a plan to move as he moves, a plan to separate from something or someone in order to follow God's path in our life, because whatever is still we're unwilling or not ready to separate from is being a drag, if you will, on our walk with him. And so God says, you've got to come out from that. But as we journey down that road, God's promises go with us. And we carry those promises of God, his prosperity, his provision, his protection, his presence, all the way along our journey. And again, just as with Abram, he'll do all the heavy lifting if we just trust him. So then we come to the purpose, because there's always a purpose in whatever plan God has for us in this journey of faith. Notice the end of verse 2, and it starts with these two words, so that. And you've heard me say this many times over the years. When you see those two words in the Old Testament or New Testament, you know pretty much that God's purposes are about to be revealed. That's how you know. Mark that in your Bible. Every time you see the words so that, it's usually referring to the purposes of God. And it's no different here in Genesis chapter 12. God says, so that you will exemplify divine blessing. There's actually two purposes in that phrase. One, and the NET Bible translators capture it, it is so that Abram can exemplify the blessing of God. Meaning he can be an example of what a life looks like that is living in the prosperity, favor, and blessing of God, that as other people view his life and how he carries himself, there will be something very distinguishable and distinctive about Abram's life. that people will see the fingerprints of God are on him, or there's something very different about him. And it will actually lead Abram to become this winsome, if you will, captivating and attractive person to others. And God has the same purpose for us. He wants us to walk with him so that other people can see that the fingerprints of God are all over our life, and that we are living in the prosperity and favor and blessing of God, so that our life becomes this very distinctive example of what a life walking with God looks like. So that others can, oh, there's something different about that person. You know, man, the confidence that they carry themselves with every day, the hope that they have, the joy, the peace. That's something that I want. You see, all of us are called to walk down this pathway with God, no matter what it is, in order to be an example of the blessing of God. But we are also called to walk down this path so that we can be a blessing. And that's the second purpose revealed in this phrase. All the way back in the book of Genesis, we see this principle. We are blessed to be a blessing. That the blessing of God is not just to come into our life and just stay there. We are to be channels. We are to be conduits. We are to be rivers of blessing, so that the blessing of God comes into our life and literally then flows out of us to bless others. That was God's purpose for Abram. That's God's purpose for us as well, that we would be an example of the blessing of God and that we would become a blessing to others as we walk along this journey of faith. So we've seen the preparation, we've seen the plan, we've seen the promises, we've seen the purpose. Go over now to verse 4 and let's look at the pilgrimage, the pilgrimage. Abram left just as the Lord had told him to do. Then go down with me to verse 9. Abram continually journeyed by stages down to the Negev, the southern part. He went from the north down to the south. But notice, Abram is an example of what we are taught in other places of Scripture, that we are sojourners, that we are pilgrims, that we are passing through. And it's from one stage to another. It's from one level of glory to another. It's from one step to the next step. You see, in these phrases from verse 4 and verse 9, we learn that the life of faith never stands still. We keep progressing. You've heard me say, none of us get to a place in our spiritual life and just plateau and stay there. We are either moving forward or we're moving backward. The life of faith never stands still. So through the journey of this life of Abram, we are learning we have to keep making progress. We have to leave and move to the voice of God and whatever God is leading us to do, and we journey by stages, step by step. Abraham would pitch his tent. He would stay there for a time. When God spoke to him again and said, now let's move, Abram would pull up his tent, and he would pitch it somewhere else. And the reason that can be of great encouragement to us is that nowhere in the Bible do you ever see God asking people to make a leap or to make a jump. It's always just take the next step. It's one step or one stage at a time. Amen. You see. So a question again I want to ask all of us is, what is that next step God wants you to take? Because again, the life of faith never stands still. We are always making progress. I try to encourage Christians, especially who are discouraged. It's never about perfection with God. Don't try to be perfect, you're going to be discouraged. It's never about perfection. It's about progress. That's what it's about. God expects us to make progress continually. That's what he calls us to. So what is that next step of progress in your journey of faith? Again, not having to jump, not having to leap, just what is that next step God wants you to take? And then we come to the pledge. And I want you, if you're taking notes, to add to that P word of allegiance. The pledge of allegiance. And no, I'm not talking about our country's pledge of allegiance, obviously. I'm talking about the pledge of allegiance that we see here from Abram. Why do I say that? Well, notice this note that we could just bypass and not pay too much attention to, but it really does give us context. At the end of verse 6 of chapter 12, we are told, at that time, as he's journeying through the land, the Canaanites were in the land. Remember, Abram didn't own a speck of land at this point in this territory. None of it was his. He was living in what you've heard me say, enemy territory. Culturally speaking, none of the people that he was around were worshipers of Jehovah. So it's very significant then that we learn that as he passed through this territory, verse 7, Abram built an altar there to the Lord. Then look at verse 8 at the end. There he built an altar to the Lord and worshiped the Lord. When Abraham would move, Abraham would build an altar of worship, an altar of sacrifice, an altar that was telling everyone in that land, I am a worshiper of Jehovah God. He is my God. I'm not ashamed of him. And even in this culture that does not recognize, that does not worship him, I am willing to pledge my allegiance. Do you know one example in our day and age of pledging your allegiance to God, and we just practiced it a couple weeks ago, is baptism. Why does Jesus call his followers to be baptized? Because it is us publicly identifying ourselves as followers of Christ and saying to all who are around, I am a follower of Jesus Christ and I'm not ashamed. And I'm willing to openly and publicly declare my worship of him. That's what Abram was doing as he journeyed. Everywhere he built an altar, he was saying to those around, even though this wasn't his territory, I worship that God. Because remember, he was in the midst of people that worshiped many gods. And he said, nope, I worship one, Jehovah God. Let me give some sort of modern day context to this. I grew up in what many people would call the Bible Belt, where culturally speaking, everybody went to church. And listen, you know, that doesn't mean a thing, right? That doesn't, you know, equal salvation. That doesn't equal a strong relationship with God. That just means everybody culturally there does it. So if you go to church in the Bible Belt, no big deal, because that's what everybody does. How much harder is it to pledge our allegiance to God whenever culturally it would not be as acceptable? And folks, in our day and age, it's getting a little bit more challenging even no matter where you live in America. But think about even our missionaries. I think about people like Josh and Anishka over there in the Czech Republic, where culturally, you know, Jesus Christ is not worshiped culturally in the Czech Republic, and yet they have planted their flag there, and they pledge their allegiance to Jesus Christ in a place where it's not common to do so. How about Kimmy Carlson in Tokyo, Japan? Jesus Christ is not culturally worshiped in Tokyo, Japan, and yet she pledges her allegiance to Jesus Christ in that culture. That's what Abram was doing. He was not in a place where it was culturally everybody was worshiping Jehovah. No, it was very significant that he was willing to put himself out there and identify himself with Jehovah God in Canaanite territory. How about us? Are we pledging our allegiance to our God out there where we move and where we work and where we live and all of that? Or we sort of secret disciples, you know. We don't want the blowback, and, you know, we don't want the criticism, and we don't want this. So we're just sort of secret disciples. God doesn't let us be secret disciples very long. He calls us out. And Abram was willing to pledge his allegiance as he journeyed on this journey of faith. Let me again ask all of us, going back to the beginning, do you recognize the voice of God as God is speaking to you? Because he will speak to all of us. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." Do you know when God is speaking to you? Second, are you moving to the voice of God? Are you moving to his moving in your life? Are you responding? Are you separating from the things or from the people that you need to separate in order to live a healthier spiritual life, in order to truly follow God wholly and completely? Are you carrying the promises of God with you as you journey? What is that next step God wants you to take in your journey of faith as you move from one stage to another? And is there some way that you could increase your pledge of allegiance to God right now in this season of your life? I'm going to ask our worship team to come. And as they come, would you stand, please, and join me in prayer? Father, I pray today, Lord, for all of us who are on this journey of faith with you. And first of all, God, thank you for allowing us to be on this journey of faith. Thank you, God, for having a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us, God. Thank you for partnering with us, for sharing your promises, for doing the heavy lifting, if we'll just follow you, God. May we learn and be inspired through this series, looking at Abraham's journey of faith. May we see how relevant this series is to our everyday Christian life. And may you, through your Holy Spirit, just nail into our lives what needs to be nailed and fixed. Make those marks, Lord, in our hearts and minds that need to be marked. Challenge us, God. And may our heart and mind be ready and willing to be stretched beyond our comfort zone. May we be willing to go out from the familiar all the time. Not that you always call us to do that or be that, but there are seasons and there are times very intentionally and very strategically as part of your plan where we've gotten a little bit too comfortable in our surroundings and with our surroundings, and you need to keep stretching us in order to fulfill your plan and purpose for our life. Because many times, Lord, even as your people, we want to just sit down and just stay there and not move anymore. Oh, God, may we never get to that place where our comfort rules, where we become complacent with where we are in our journey of faith. May we always be willing to follow you, no matter what you're asking of us. And as we're about to sing, may all of us be willing to be that living sacrifice and lay down our lives upon your altar. God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.